Hello, and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today, we're joined by Miriam Sherrill, Senior Product Manager at Form3, and Steve Murphy, Director of Commercial and Enterprise Payments at Mercator Advisory Group. We dive into the current real-time payments landscape and discuss how much it's evolved. Miriam and Steve also discuss the differences in faster payments, especially when looking at the UK and the US. And Miriam gives us a sneak peek at an upcoming webinar next month with Connie Blacklock, EMEA Head of Real-Time Payments Treasury Services at JP Morgan. It'll be an extension of this conversation, including the similarities and differences between faster payments in the UK and the US, as well as what banks need to consider from a fraud perspective. We're looking forward to that webinar next month. Miriam, Steve, it's great to have you with us today. To start, Miriam, can you give us some background on Form3?
Form3 is a payment processor new in the market. We are a cloud-native, API-based new player, I would say, for the US, but been around 6 years, just had our 6-year birthday, focused in the UK and Europe, so connected to faster payment schemes like FPS and SEPA Instant, as well as some other schemes. But given the focus of this podcast, we'll focus on the faster payment piece. One of the, I would say, kind of key differentiators is really being built for the future. So a 24/7 cloud native, all API managed service. So really, as we get into some of the other discussion topics here, really focused on faster payments, 24/7, real time, everything that makes faster payments what it is, and kind of built true to purpose for that. So as far as where they sit in the ecosystem, we fit into that kind of connectivity piece directly to the scheme and then offer some of the other services as well around payment processing.
Let's talk about the real time payments landscape. Can you speak to how it's evolved and what you're seeing happening right now?
Yeah, definitely. So specifically in the US, I think faster payments has been a topic for quite a while. There's a theme that goes around in the industry about the US being behind other regions. And I think there is some fairness to that. So the US has the real-time payment scheme from the Clearinghouse, which got started in 2017 or late 2016, really the first infrastructure meant for real-time payments. So we've had same-day ACH, which is a type of real-time payments or at least faster payment. There's other services, overlays like Zelle, PayPal, but as far as infrastructure that truly is a new rail that allows faster payments, real-time payments from the Clearinghouse was first. One of the things we've seen, though, is adoption rate. So they have around 260 banks on the network right now, which probably doesn't sound like a lot considering the U.S. has 10,000 plus financial institutions. And that's something we're looking at, right? So if you look at it in the U.S. right now, that's a pretty low adoption rate from a bank perspective. Some of that might be because of FedNow. So the Federal Reserve is coming out with their rail for faster payments called FedNow. That's due to launch next year. So when they announced that back in 2019, that is something that the market said, are banks going to wait for FedNow to come into the market? So one thing we've seen in other schemes like ACH, the Federal Reserve Service has 9,000 plus institutions on Fed ACH. The Clearinghouse EPN service has closer to 200 something. And so many thought, well, that might mean banks are going to wait until FedNow's out to really adopt this and launch it. I think the interesting trend right now, FedNow announced that they will be going live starting in mid-2023, and they kind of finalized their date, which the expectation was would really catalyze all the banks to say, okay, we got to get on this. I don't know that we're seeing that right now. So based on conversations we as Form3 are having with customers or things we're hearing in the industry, there still seems to be a bit of a hesitation from financial institutions. I think we're going to talk a little bit about a webinar that we're going to do that's going to focus in on some of this. That is a trend we've seen in other regions like the UK. So they also had banks start slowly, and then there were kind of peaks and spikes that happened a little bit later. So we may see that. I think the next few years are going to be really interesting to see once FedNow and RTP are both on the market, how fast will we start to see this adoption kind of move forward?
That's Miriam, this is Steve. Good timing, since we just had a couple of industry events, CPI and then AFP in Philadelphia, and real-time payments was certainly a hot topic. I had a couple of people on one of my panels that I was leading. One was from the Fed and one was from TCH. So it was interesting that the 260 or some odd banks that are connected to RTP, they represent somewhere between 80 and 85% of account access. So that's one of the important things to highlight. And then, the remaining banks, it sounds to me like the large institutions had a direct connection into RTP, and likely because of their relationship with the Fed will have direct connections into FedNow as well. But the predominant approach to connecting seems to be through PSPs like yourselves. Why do you think that is for most of the banks?
Yeah, so for the large institutions that you talked about, I don't know that that would be the case, right? But for everyone else, when it comes to connecting to schemes, there's a large cost in doing that yourself, and it comes with a lot. So you have to have the connection itself, which costs money. You have to do the messaging, which costs money. You have to meet the format standards, which costs money. Utilizing a TPSP, one especially that's already got a service, so 24/7, the infrastructure is all built. You reduce all of that, and you can kind of focus on banking, right? So you use APIs in Form3's case that we provide that are agnostic, and then ISO translation, ISO changes that are coming, the differences in the rules between RTP and FedNow, all of that gets to be someone else's problem, ours, but the banks can focus on the banking themselves. And so in this case, especially with faster payments where you need high resiliency and 24/7 and all of that, I think a lot of banks and even some of the larger banks who really have never looked at this model before are thinking, wait, this makes more sense for us to have someone else do who does it well and this is all they do. And we'll focus on banking. So I think faster payments has pushed that even more than, wire and ACH and some of the existing rails just because of the nature of faster payments. Steve, maybe if I can touch on something you said before about, 85% of accounts, it's a really interesting comment that's come up a lot. I've heard it related to DDA accounts, so I don't know if it's all accounts, but it will be interesting to see what happens here, right? With 260 plus banks, but 85% of accounts. So what about the other 9,000 banks and how's that going to play out? And I think the other piece is receive only versus send and receive. So a lot of banks are starting off in a receive mode. So yes, you can reach, 85% of accounts, but they're not sending yet. So at some point, we're going to see, start to see a push in that direction as well. So I just wanted to touch on that. But I think that's a really good point that's come up a lot.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that because, you have the three major messaging types, which is send, receive, and request for pay. And so there are challenges to each of those. Are you finding that in your implementations, those challenges for banks are more operational than they are IT?
Yeah, so that's where I was going to go. I think you have to separate this into a few different things. There's the technical pieces of it, which really, once you do the connection, once you know how to do ISO messaging really well, you know how to translate that into APIs that you can provide to your customers, maybe not as technically challenging, real, I'm talking like API tech. But operationally and even technically challenging as far as like downstream systems, you do kind of increase your complexity with time, right? And so receive only still has some complexities. I think that's part of why we've seen even a low adoption on that. So real-time checking of a payment that has to happen if you're a receive customer, that's still technically challenging. You have to do it in 5 seconds or less. You have to do a compliance real-time check. Those are things that TPSPs can really help with. So that's useful and why that's a model that works here. But once you start sending and you have to do everything upfront before you even send the message, you start increasing that complexity and those technical upgrades that you have to do. And request for payment is a whole nother operational kind of interesting topic that is a lot of noise in the industry right now, not so much usage yet, because I think we're waiting to see if we can get to like best market practices that everyone's going to use request for payment the same way for things like bill pay. And then we'll see that increase. Until that happens, bank A implements it one way, bank C implements it another way. It's not going to work together. And so everyone's kind of talking about that and figuring it out. But there's a lot of complexity and automation that's needed for request for payment to really be useful.
Now, it's the other thing that we chatted about on the panel was whether or not the banks that are going to be implementing real time, either through a PSP or directly, it sounds like they'll be doing both RTP and FedNow, but it's really been unclear. Is there any trend that you're seeing in your discussions as to whether or not banks want to add both or just one or the other?
We've heard both. This is going to be a Miriam comment, not a Form3 comment. But my gut is you're going to see many banks go to both, just like you've seen for other networks, right? Other rails. A lot of that is resiliency. A lot of that is the interoperability model that's been put in place. So you can't start on RTP and end in FedNow or start in FedNow and end in RTP, which means banks, in order to reach anyone who's on FedNow, have to be able to send on FedNow. So that's going to push the conversation. And from an infrastructure perspective, it means a pretty good, resilient, faster payment world 10 years down the line. I do think in the immediate future, though, we have the banks who already built for RTP, some of them going, what's my revenue? Win to go to FedNow right now. We have the banks who haven't done RTP yet for whatever reason who are thinking, I'm just going to go to FedNow. So I think you're going to see a little bit of I'm on FedNow or I'm on RTP, but then eventually now I'm on both. And the schemes are doing their best. They've done a lot of collaboration to align enough that it shouldn't be too difficult to be on both. That being said, there are some differences, and again, where TPSBs can help, because you can kind of separate those differences from the true banking. So a difference in a spec message. If you're using one API that a TPSB provides you that can support both, TPSB worries about, you know, the Pax 08 I have to send to one bank that's different than the Pax 08 I have to send to a different scheme. So that can be helpful.
Yeah, it's interesting because when the Fed made their, I guess, semi-surprising announcement that they were going to get into FedNow several years ago, the big question in the analyst community and some other places was, you know, are they going to be interoperable with RTP? And it sounds like, you know, based on your comments and what I've heard from them, is that they're trying the best they can, but it's not going to be 100% interoperable, which might be a good reason to, especially some of the smaller banks that don't have the IT resources, to go through a PSP to connect.
Yeah. So I will say, everyone laughs when I say this, but because I worked for the Fed, I will say none of my comments represent the Federal Reserve Bank. I have to do my lawyerly act. But interoperability was and is still, I think, a big discussion, you know, about whether the schemes should interoperate and actually have messages go between each other or not. Real-time payments, given its complexity and kind of similarities to wire because of the real-timeness, there are actually pretty difficult conversations to have if you want to do that. But then again, message routing has its own, you know, complications from a banking perspective. But to your point that you just said, yes, I think there's been tons of collaboration to try to have feature alignment, message alignment, where at all possible to help with this area.
Great, thanks.
Miriam, you spoke about, you know, what the RTP landscape looks like in the U.S. What can U.S. banks learn from other regions like the U.K. that have moved to real-time payments over the past decade?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And in fact, the webinar that we're going to do, this is really the topic we're going to deep dive into and talk about at depth. I think just as a kind of teaser, a high level, first, banks need to understand the differences. So whether you're a large bank that may be global, and so you've actually done this in the UK and now you're looking at US, or even banks that are just in the US, but they want to look at the other markets and say, like, what can I learn from there? I think it's important to understand some of the differences first, because you need to make sure that when you're comparing what they did to what you're going to do, it actually aligns to the same issue. And there are some differences, especially in the UK. So the settlement is 3 times a day as opposed to real time, like FedNow and RTP are doing, and the availability rules are pretty different. Those things drive differences in what banks are going to have to do to prepare. However, there are going to be lots of similarities. So I think we just talked about use cases and payment use cases that are moving onto these rails. You can look at the UK and see how their trajectory went and what payments moved over to, you know, the scheme and the timing of that, and that can help banks plan. You can look at TPSPs and how the market has kind of revolved around, wait, that's a solution that really makes sense in this space, and think about that here in the US. You could look at real-time posting of funds and things like that. So there's a lot to learn from it. But then there are a lot of things that I believe we're going to say, yeah, we know that happened in the UK, but it's not happening in the US. Or that happened in Europe, but it's not happening in the US. So now that's a difference. How do I handle that? I think we just heard the EBA announce that they're going to mandate real-time payments now. So the US hasn't done that yet. So that's going to be a key difference as well. Things like that. And this is one probably I won't go into too much detail here, because that's going to be the focus on our webinar.
Yeah, the original UK faster payment system, which is still in play, is being updated or recreated. And the messaging is going to be the ISO 20022 standard. So is there any use case sort of progression that US banks can take from the UK? Because as far as I know, it was more of a consumer to business and person to person transfer system, not as much B2B. Which is one of the reasons why RTP was built the way it was built, to create more B2B sort of traffic. Is there anything you can tell us about how the UK adoption progression went, and, you know, what's popular in terms of use cases?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably won't get into the detail of the specific use cases here, but I do think what you mentioned is important. Some of the use cases that work in the UK and work really well already won't hit here so fast. P2P, for example. So we're going to need something around the directory solution and how account numbers work and can be checked before that becomes really useful here. The UK has pretty good solutions in place already. They've got a different way of doing their account numbers completely than the US that helps with some of that and gives the banks the ability to do more P2P a lot easier, I would say, than in the US, where we may need some extra infrastructure or work around that space. A to A is always a big one. Obviously, it's kind of the first thing you think about when you talk about faster payments, because these truly are account-to-account payments. I think we've seen in the regions I'm aware of that account-to-account is always the first one that's the easiest to move, because when you want, whether it's, you know, your own payment that you're moving, a me-to-me, so it's my money from this bank to my money in that bank, but you know all the information, or even on-us transactions, you see a lot of those where it's an account-to-account within a big institution, and maybe today they use check still, which nobody wants to talk about, but they do to move that money around, and now it's like, well, this is faster and easier and simpler. So I think we're going to see some of that. But use cases is a good one to focus in on at the webinar as well. Yeah.
Miriam, you have a webinar coming up and you gave us a glimpse already, but can you provide a bit more of a teaser for the audience of what they can expect?
So we have a webinar coming up where we're going to talk with Connie Blacklock from JP. She's the head of real-time payments for EMEA there. And, you know, she's really going to help us delve further into some of the questions you just asked me, so I can give all the insights I want, but I'm in the US and I've been focused on FedNow and RTP for the last few years. She's seen this and done this for the UK and for some of the other schemes. And so her and I will probably do a little bit of back and forth around what she's seen and what US can learn. And I may kind of push a little bit and say, well, can the US really learn from that because we're different? So a really good conversation on where we can learn, maybe where there are differences and what banks should expect here in the US as we move through the journey that FPS in the UK and Pay.UK already succeeded with.
Great. Miriam, Steve, thank you so much for your time and your perspective. And we look forward to the webinar coming up.
Okay, thanks.
Looking forward.